Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Imagine Black, formerly known as PALF, a Black-led organization that advocates for racial equity in Oregon, is endorsing for the first time candidates who are running for the school board and special districts election in Oregon. Specifically, the nonprofit is endorsing candidates who have promised to not accept any police-affiliated endorsements or funding. These candidates include incumbent Robin Stowers, Jayza Mosley, Erica Fuller, Jamie Kale, and Ty Harden Moore. Imagine Black has consistently been a pivotal force in the Portland activism community to raise awareness about issues that Black Portlanders and Oregonians face. And in the past year, along with other local organizations, Imagine Black successfully influenced the city to remove school resource officers, also known as SROs, from Portland public schools after years of scrutiny that officers unfairly target and mistreat students of color. Tomorrow, I will be speaking with these candidates about their visions for a more equitable school system in Oregon that includes the voices and perspectives of Black students, families, and community members. Today, I spoke with Joy Lise Davis, the executive director of Imagine Black, and Esperanza Tervlon Garrett, a board member of Imagine Black. Here's more of my conversation with Joy Lise Davis and Esperanza Tervlon Garrett.
Thanks again for joining us. First off, I want to start with the fact that Imagine Black, for the first time, is endorsing candidates for Oregon, the Oregon Board of Education, and the various different boards, whether that's Portland District, Gresham Barlow, and so on. Joy Lee, starting with you, can you talk about why this is the first time Imagine Black is endorsing any candidate?
Yeah, thank you. As an organization, we are so deeply invested in dismantling the school-to-prison pipeline here in Oregon. And most folks may not know that the average nonprofit in Oregon are virtually not allowed to endorse candidates. So we are one of the few, as far as our knowledge, one of the two Black-led organizations in the state that have the power to endorse candidates, to work with our members and community members to choose a candidate that aligns with our values. We were really excited to do this for the first time this year, and the school board race is such an important race to dismantling the school to prison pipeline. It was a no-brainer for us to participate in this way.
Getting into the meat of the issue, if you will, can you talk about, each of you, how is Oregon failing students of color, particularly Black students?
Yeah, I'm happy to start with that. You know, I think, Oregon has a long and deep history of anti-Black racism that has permeated every layer of society, instruction, and institution. And it certainly has not passed over the education system here. As a parent of a 14-year-old who attends public school in Oregon, it's been really overwhelming to see the amount of anti-Black racism that exists in schools, from the way that our children are overwhelmingly punished and receive discipline, to the lack of response when children are called just basic anti-racist terms, you know, the N-word being the few among them, or maybe the least intense among them. You know, I think it's really important for us to just acknowledge that over the time of the pandemic, we've really seen the gap between, of the gap in education for Black families, and particularly, we think about broadband access. It's super spotty in this state. More than 5% of the state lacks broadband access, and that means that Black children are not having time to be connected in school. When we think about discipline and the overwhelming rates of Black students facing discipline, when kids are getting disciplined, they're not in the classroom learning. And so that means that our children are actually missing the most important time of the school day, which is time in the class learning. Housing instability brought on by COVID and the lack of work and the lack of management around this massive pandemic mean that a lot of folks are facing housing instability. And, you know, that is, it's hard to log on at 8 p.m. when you're not sure where you're going to sleep at night. And I think the last one for us is, you know, the lack of Black teachers. When Black students don't have Black teachers, it really hits home to not feel supported or to see yourself reflected in the classroom. But the truth is that white students miss out by not having Black teachers too. And so there's the lack of Portland's ability to retain Black teachers has been a huge issue here, and we think continues to be part of, you know, the overlapping and interlocking oppressions that are hurting Black children and reinforce the school to prison pipeline.
I know one of the folks on your staff, our board member rather, was talking about how the board has legal power in terms of like curriculum and whatnot, and also setting the standard for things like Esperanza was talking about, like expulsions or suspensions. So there's a lot of, it sounds like, power and responsibility that goes into this. So it is very important who gets voted in.
Yeah. So school boards just in general are very powerful. Their main function is to set the goals and the policies for their district. They're directly elected by the people. And sometimes I think if you are a person navigating the state that may not have children, you may not know, if I'm honest, about how powerful this space is and how supporting kind of our education system, our youth, impacts our state as a whole and our neighborhoods as a whole. School board members have their direct effect on how students move through the system. And if we're thinking in terms of Black students in particular, the school board members are the first line of defense and legally protecting our children from institutionalized racism and violence in their school system. That's why it's so critical to elect bold leaders who advocate for our kids unapologetically. School board members make big policy decisions like setting rules on curriculum, pushing for truth and equity in the classroom. They pass policies that reduce suspensions and expulsions. They approve teacher contracts, and they also approve kind of outside vendors. So they are really influential in deciding whether or not we have a police presence in our school, which is one of the reasons why our organization is really excited to endorse this this current group of candidates that are aligned with our values, that have committed to not taking any police money, which for us means that they are committed to not being influenced by police and not having that police interest while they're making decisions that can support and help our youth thrive in this space. So the school board is directly elected. It's really, really important to setting those policies and goals, like I mentioned. And some of the exciting kind of moments for us is electing folks that align with our values, who are interested in making, you know, our school system safe and safe for kids.
Can you talk a little bit more about what those values are in specifics to policing? I know it's been a while since I've looked into this, but I know growing up, for me, I'm in my late 20s, that schools like Grant High School and other public schools, particularly students where there was a higher percentage of students of color and Black students, there was a lot of security detail. Whereas other schools, as far as I know, that either wasn't as prevalent or non-existent. Can you talk about, because I know Imagine Black, formerly known as PALF, had a very monumental power or activist influence in terms of getting that removed. Can you talk about, on one part, the values that you see in the candidates and what you imagine Portland Public Schools in particular looking like in the near future as they open up?
Yeah, last summer, Imagine Black, alongside some really, really amazing and powerful Black-led organizations and allies and accomplices and parents and teachers really organized to make sure that we no longer have police officers or school resource officers, or what they call within the Portland Public School District. I can say that that work, there's still a lot of work to do in terms of making sure that youth are safe and that they're able to navigate the school system in a way that uplifts them. But there's also other districts around the state that still have work to do in making sure that police are out of their district and out of the schools. What we're super excited about, I would say, with our current candidates is they've committed to taking no police money. And we know that police unions are what we call the Portland Police Associations are often the main roadblocks in dismantling the school to prison pipeline. So when we ask our candidates not to take police money from, we're asking them to illustrate that they are interested in being bold leaders and not being influenced directly by police interests. Last summer, you know, everyone, every politician, every company, corporation, they were all really excited about talking about Black Lives Matter and making commitments. And from my perspective in the organization, this is one of those ways they can actually put those words into action and in making sure that police officers are not inside of our school systems. There's so much more work to do in terms of making sure that we have alternatives to discipline. Black and brown children are still disciplined at higher rates, are being funneled into youth detention centers at a rate that is alarming, especially within Multnomah County. So there's so much more work to do, but getting police out of our schools is one of the first that I'm excited that our candidates are excited, are interested in pushing and making sure that they're not going to be voting for that in the future. But we know that, you know, accepting campaign donations, you know, they influence, and it's hard for you to say that you care about Black lives while at the same time receiving foundation, you know, money from groups that, you know, traumatize and commit violence against Black youth and Black people. So this is important work for us, and this is long-term work, and we're excited to work with parents and teachers and community members in the future to go a step beyond getting those police out and really making sure that we have alternative systems of restorative justice and transformative justice that allow for youth to stay in school and allow for them to get the support that they need.
Just jumping in here, one of the stats that I learned through this work is that not a lot of people vote in this election. And something that Imagine Black is also trying to do, Claire, is expand knowledge and increase the amount of folks who participate in the election. There's kind of this misconception of like, oh, I don't have kids at PPS. You know, it doesn't impact me. You know, I'm like, I don't have kids either. But Imagine Black is really doing this work to not only endorse candidates, but educate the community about why they should care and why they should vote.
What would you say to folks in Portland who don't necessarily have a direct investment in school districts, whether that's Portland or outside of Portland? Why should they vote? Why should this matter to them?
Yeah, I can go first. As someone who does not have any children, this election is so important to securing our future. When I think about really big issues that we're going to be facing as a community, as a society, as a global community, you know, having our children informed, our youth being able to be empowered to learning the things that are important for them to be successful in the future. It makes me excited when I look at the voter pamphlet and I get a chance to learn more about the many different folks around the state who are pushing like-minded values. It makes me feel very excited about the future, especially in a time where it's hard to picture the future. I think just being honest about COVID and other things that are happening right now around the country and the world, I need to hold on to that. And I think as an organization, we value imagination, we value visioning around the future, and having a group of candidates that support in that that vision is, I think, going to be really exciting and going to have lasting impacts, even if you don't have any children like myself. So this is a race that's often overlooked, and it breaks my heart. And I know that something that we're committed to is increasing voter engagement within school board races to make sure that this is not just something that parents have to carry alone, but it's something that all of us can walk alongside and make sure that our youth are being cared for in a way that is appropriate and that allows for them to flourish.
That's great.
Can I?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Can I tack someone on to this?
Yeah, of course.
I think the other important piece to remember, particularly about school board races here in Oregon, is that this is actually the beginning of the political pipeline for the state of Oregon. Many of our school board candidates will go on to be in the you know, become assembly members or senators or potentially governors. And, you know, one of the places that we see the most immediate change is in our schools. It's very local. It's an opportunity for these people to show leadership in our community in new ways and for us to get a sense and begin to collectivize what we want the state to be doing to better represent our community. I mean, the thing that's so beautiful to me about Imagine Black Slate is the diversity of candidates that people have to choose from. And despite this untrue narrative about Oregon being a super white place, you see that there are all these amazing people of color who are passionate and skilled and experienced and ready to lead our schools initially forward to make sure that they're inclusive and diverse and moving towards racial justice. And imagine what's possible if we can see that go from schools onto the state, you know, maybe one day into the governor's seat. Oregon's just on a better track. And I feel like Imagine Black is helping so many voters who frankly are at a loss when they get their ballots to know who to support. And Imagine Black has done that hard work. They are trusted messengers in our community. And people can cast that ballot knowing that their values aligned and they are ready to lead.
This is Clara Shado with KBOO Evening News.